Here's a question. In Joshua 6, men, women, children, and animals were completely destroyed, all except Rahab. Where is God's grace in all this?
We're going to get to that, chapter 6. In the book of Genesis, it's around chapter 14 or 15, God said to Abraham, already at that point, and this would have been 600 years before this is all happening, God says at that point, he says, the cup of my wrath against the Canaanites is full, but it's not yet quite full. In other words, he's actually predicting that he was going to bring judgment against all those people at that time. And so by the time this comes about, there's never been any repentance. There's never been any desire to seek after God. And so now it is time for judgment. That's basically what it is. And the Canaanites were judged. We're going to see later that there's a whole nation yet amongst the Canaanites that are rescued. They actually bid for their lives, so to speak. They're called the Gibeonites. And God saves a whole group of people out of the Canaanites because they wanted to be forgiven. They wanted to be rescued. And they figure the only way they can do it is to try to deceive the Israelites. And so they put on a big ruse about the fact that they're not from Canaan, they're from a faraway land, and they get some promises out of them. And so they actually become, as a result of that, they become workers in the temple, providing firewood and stuff like that. But they're taken in, and they become a part of the Israelites. So God's grace does reach there. But again, we have to remember, God's grace is a selective grace. He offers grace continually to all people. We call it common grace, the fact that we breathe his air, live in his world, enjoy 70 years or more or less of life when we are living in rebellion against God. That is constantly the fact that God is showing common grace to mankind. We deserve to die instantly because of our defiance of the true and the living God. But God endures and puts up with people for so long. But so God's grace is still there. It's an abundant grace. He primarily worked through the Israelites through the Old Testament. And aren't you glad we live on this side of the cross? Because it's gone to the Gentiles as well. But again, God is God. Who are we to question God's workings?
If Rahab's house was built into the wall of the city, how come it wasn't destroyed when the walls came down?
That's a good question. It's not told in the Bible. I guess sometimes, you know, as kids, we always see the picture of the wall still standing with the red cord. I personally think they all escaped. In other words, as they're starting to march around, Rahab and her family are coming down the rope and all of them being rescued. But that's non-biblical. That's just my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. But whether that portion came down, we're just not told. But anyway, they were rescued one way or the other. I don't think the slaves knew because they said, you stay in the house. They weren't expecting the house to come down. They just said, make sure the whole family's there. So somehow or another, maybe the cord was the very, they put the cord there for that very reason. It was going to be, I mean, they didn't know, but God knew. Anyway.
And one more. Isn't it a bit dubious that the spies entered a prostitute's place for refuge when they belonged to Israel?
I'm not sure if I get the question other than whoever texted, you can talk to me during lunch, but I don't think it was dubious. I think they knew they got themselves in hot water. They must have figured that they were found out, or as I said, I think Rahab saw them and invited them to her house. I mean, it says she welcomed the spies. Did she welcome them in the street and say, come here? Or she saw that they were already kind of found out and trying to hide? You know, again, that's not in the Bible. But I think that's all we can go with. If you want to follow up on that with me. I don't think, again, it's practical Christianity. It wasn't like, well, we're invincible because we're God's people. We're just going to walk through the city of Jericho. I mean, you know, it's real life situation. They had to hide. They had to sneak around. They didn't want to get caught. And so that's just real life Christianity.